So many times, beloved, what we want is we want Jesus as our Savior, but not as our King. Can we separate the salvation of Jesus from His right to rule and to reign over our life? Oh, beloved, no, no. And you're going to see that as He is presented to you today on this very significant road that leads from Bethpage and Bethany to the Mount of Olives. Behold, your King is coming. I'm in Jerusalem, beloved, and I'm walking down what traditionally is called the Palm Sunday Road. Bethpage and Bethany are at my back, and I'm on the Mount of Olives, and I'm in a very, very significant place, a very significant place where Matthew is going to show us that the Son of David, that the King of Israel, was here in this very place, so that the people might know and that they might recognize that their King had come. Listen to what happens on this significant road. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately He will send them. Now, as Matthew gives us this account, Matthew tells us that there were two donkeys there. The others traditionally tell us only about the donkey that Jesus rode down this Palm Sunday road, and we call it the Palm Sunday Road because of the way the church celebrates this before they celebrate the events of the Passion Week, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. This was Jesus' final entry into this city. And it says in verse 4 that this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. It's so interesting to note that when the King is coming, He's coming on a donkey. When a king approached a city, if he was coming for peace, he would ride on a donkey. If he was coming for war, he would ride on a white horse. And what God is showing us in this beautiful, beautiful picture is that Jesus was coming as the Prince of Peace, the one who would make reconciliation between man and God. Because man had moved from God. Man had chosen to sin. Man had chosen to listen to the enemy. And so what God did was He provided a sacrifice. He provided a way for man to return to God. And what He's announcing in this wonderful, wonderful event is the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9. Watch what he says. Say to the daughter of Zion, your King, behold, your King is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This is a direct quote from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Now, this is typical to Matthew's pattern, because what Matthew does is he takes events in Jesus' life, events especially that stress who He is, what His person is, and the fact that He is truly the King. He is truly the Son of David. He is truly the Son of Abraham. And so He takes these events, and then He takes the prophecy from the Old Testament and brings it into what we call New Testament times. And as He does this, He makes sure that we understand that He is pointing to this one who is the Messiah, who is the Christ, who is the promised one, who is the anointed one. It says the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. So now just imagine, if you will, a donkey coming down this road with a colt with it. And they're taking their coats and putting it on the donkey. Jesus mounting the donkey. They're not understanding at first what they're doing. They're not understanding that finally here is a prophecy that is being fulfilled, that is centuries old, that was given centuries later. They're enacting the word of God. They are seeing the fulfillment of Scripture. And it says, most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them in the road. And the crowds going ahead of him and those who followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Now, what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna means save us, we pray. Save, we pray. Save, we pray. Who was coming? It was their Savior. It was their King coming, mounted on a donkey, just as Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says. And I want us to go back and look at Zechariah chapter 9, because it's so important. And when you do this, beloved, when you check out the Scriptures, then you're going to remember that you saw it. You're going to mark it, and next to it, you can write Matthew chapter 21. And next to Matthew 21, you can write Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice, and I'm in Zechariah, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Now, he's talking to the daughter of Zion. He is talking to Israel, and he says, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Behold, he is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so here is this prophecy. It's right in the middle of this word that God gives, the burden of the word of the Lord that comes to Zechariah. And now it's being fulfilled. Now, when he says, Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David, what you want to watch, beloved, is you want to watch and to mark these references to the Son of David, to the Son of David. As a matter of fact, in your mind's eye, go back with me to Matthew chapter 1, the introduction to this gospel, because the introduction to this gospel shows you what Matthew is all about in the writing of his gospel. And it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. Now, why this emphasis, especially here on the Son of David? Because it's the Son of David that is to take the throne. It is the Son of David that is to be the king who is to reign forever and ever. And so when they're turning and they're shouting, Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David, they're acknowledging that this Son of David is the one who is the king, but also the king who saves. And so in this prophecy, what you see is you see him coming as the one that is going to save, as the one that is going to be the Lamb of God, that's going to take away the sins of the world. But you also see him coming as the king, the one who is going to reign again on the face of the earth. So he's quoting Psalm 118, and I want us to go back to Psalm 118 because it's significant in its setting. In verse 22, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, the stone that the builders rejected, beloved, is the one that is coming down on this road from Bethpage and Bethany, coming down to enter into Jerusalem. And as he enters into Jerusalem, Luke tells us that he wails because he says, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. It's at this time that the scribes and the Pharisees, recognizing what is happening, is going to tell him to stop them from crying out, Hosanna in the highest to the Son of David. Because the Pharisees and the scribes recognize what they're saying. And they believe he's blaspheming, that the crowd is blaspheming. And so he's saying to them, no, if they don't cry out, then the rocks around them will have to cry out. Because they have to know, they have to understand that the one who saves is the one who will someday sit upon the throne. It is their king. It is the stone which the builders rejected. It's become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the time. The time of the coming of the Savior. O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. But now listen to this. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Take the sacrifice and bind it to the horns of the altar. Now, it's a sacrifice, and the horns of the altar are the brazen altar, and they had horns. And what they would do is they would bring the sacrifice, have the rope around the neck of the animal they're going to sacrifice, and then bind it around the horn of the altar. So in the setting of Psalm 118, which they are quoting, we find the stone which the builders rejected becoming the chief cornerstone. We find this prophecy of Hosanna in the highest, but we find it in the light of a sacrifice that is bound to the horns of the altar. All of this predicting what is about to happen as Jesus, the Lamb of God, comes to take away the sins of the world. Only through Jesus can there be salvation. We'll talk about it more in just a minute.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Jesus descended the road from Bethpage to Bethany. He entered Jerusalem, and you can imagine the city was absolutely astir. It says when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, when Jesus had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, that's a very significant statement. Why? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, and I would like you to look at it. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, as Moses recorded the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, he wrote this down. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen." And this is what he said. "You shall listen to him." And this, beloved, is what we are doing. We are listening to God because we're studying his word. Now, yes, we're studying a historical account. And yet this historical account reaffirms to you and reaffirms to me who Jesus Christ is and what he has done and how you and I are to live in the light of this truth. It says, "And Jesus entered the temple." Now remember, we want to mark every reference to the temple. We mark these important words so that we can see what we learn from them. And as you mark it in this verse, what you learn is what was going on in the temple, and it wasn't good. "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that were selling doves." Now, he did this at the beginning of his ministry, and the Gospel of John tells us this. But nothing had changed in those 3.5 years, because now they're still there. They're still profiting from the people. What would they do? Well, the Jews would say, "You can't use ordinary money in this temple." So they would have money changers where the people who were coming to buy and these doves and buy these sacrifices would then turn in their money in exchange for temple money. And you know that there had to be a little charge on that exchange. And so they were profiting from that, saying you can only use temple money in the temple. But not only that, they were making a profit off of selling the sacrifices. And Jesus realized that they had taken his house and they had made it a house of profit and not what it was, which was a house of prayer. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Now notice what he says, "my house." This was where you worship the Father. This is where you worship the Son. This is where you worship the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus' house. He was one with the Father. He says, "But you are making it a robber's den." Oh, beloved, oh, beloved. Is your Christianity the kind that only wants God if you can profit from God? Or do you want God for the sake of communion, for the sake of intimacy, for the sake of knowing truth, for the sake of walking in the truth? You can see that the road I'm on is a narrow road. It is a narrow road. And God's way is a narrow way, as we saw in Matthew chapter 7. It says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." He is still healing. "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple." Now, once again, you mark temple. What do you find? You find that Jesus has entered the temple. The glory of the Lord, it says in John, "And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." The glory of the Lord has entered the temple. The glory of the Lord is there. And the children who were so excited about what happened on this road are now shouting. And they are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Again, in the temple, he's being recognized as the Son of David, the one who's to sit on the throne, but also the one who saves us. And they became indignant, and they said to him, "Did you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes you have prepared praise for yourself. Teach your children to praise the Lord. Teach your children the songs of Hosanna, the songs of salvation, so that from a child those songs will dwell in their heart. Well, he left there, and he went out to the city of Bethany. So he came back up this road to go back to the city of Bethany, and he spent the night there. Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, and once again, he was going down this road. He was returning to the city. This was the connection between where he was staying in Bethany with his friends and coming into the city. And he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. Now a fig tree, if it has leaves, is to have fruit. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit on you. No longer shall there ever be any fruit on you." And at once the fig tree withered. It just withered. It was going to die. And seeing this, the disciples were amazed. So now you know the disciples were with them. And they asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, I say to you." Now remember, truly is used about 31 times in the Gospel of Matthew. And it means, amen, so be it. This is truth. "I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." What a way to bring today's message to a conclusion. He says, "You have made my Father's house a den of robbers, a den of thieves. It's to be a house of prayer." Well, you are the Father's house. He dwells in you if you're a child of God. And this is to be a house of prayer. He says, "If you will commune with me and if you will believe me, if you will understand that I truly am who I am God. And if you will commune with me, you will have faith that can move mountains." Now, is he saying that we'll literally move one mountain to the other? No, that would be spectacular. But he's talking about a faith that believes God, a faith that is so strong that it sees God in action, doing only what God can do. Oh, beloved, as you remember this road, I want you to remember that Jesus is the one who saves, the only one who saves. But I also want you to remember this, that he is the King and that he is to be obeyed. He is to be obeyed. You, precious one, are to bow the knee to him. He is the King. And you are to remember that this house is to be a house of prayer. And if you and I will walk in faith, if you and I will walk in faith, if we will take God at his word, in a sense, in our lives, we will see him move mountains, because whatever we believe and we ask in prayer, it will be done. Of course, it's in conjunction with the will of your Savior and your King. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun,
prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
What is your precept for life today, beloved? I want you to stop and consider. Can Jesus be part of who He is and not be the whole thing? What have we seen today? We have seen that when He came down this road that went from Bethpage to Bethany, when He came down this road to go into the city, to walk into the temple, that He was acknowledged, first of all, as King. He was recognized as blessed is He who comes, the King who comes. Your King comes mounted on the foal of a donkey. It's your King, and it's your King who saves. And you and I have to stop and consider, can we tell Jesus, Jesus, we want one part of You, but we don't want the other? We want You to die for our sins. We want You to pay the debt so that we can have eternal life. But we do not want You to reign over us. We want You to save us, but we don't want You to reign over us. Is that possible? I don't believe that it's possible. I do not believe that it is possible. And I think if you will stop and consider what we have studied in the Gospel of Matthew, remember when Jesus talked to His disciples. Remember when He talked to the multitude that followed Him. What did He say to them? He told them that if they wanted to become a follower of Him, they had to, number one, deny themselves. Number two, they had to take up their cross and follow Him. They had to do that as a habit of life. And so He called them to complete and total and absolute submission to them. Remember the rich young ruler that Jesus met on the road. And remember that rich young ruler wanted eternal life, but he didn't want to let go of his riches. And Jesus let him walk away. And Jesus loved him. And Jesus was very, very sad that he walked away. But you see, Christ cannot be divided. He is King, He is Son of David, and He is the one who saves us. He is Hosanna. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the sacrifice that has been bound to the horns of the altar. We're going to study about that sacrifice in the days and weeks to come. And you're going to be so blessed. And I know, beloved, that once you understand the great love that He has for you, you'll have no problem bowing the knee and confessing Him as your Lord, your God, your King.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.